Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Jackie Cation here. You're listening to The Dork Forest. You know the websites, dorkforest.com, thedorkforest.com, if you like a determiner. JackieCation.com has everything. Both of my podcasts, all of the stand-up stuff, the new album, links to YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, all the things. But so, I think, does dorkforest.com, where you can look at old videos of different shows. Anyway, if you want to support the show, tell people about the show, review it on iTunes, thumbs it up on Pandora or Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts, I appreciate that. You can donate. You can donate monthly. PayPal lets you do that. You can also do my Venmo if you like. It's at Jackie Cation absolutely everywhere. And my email address is jackie@jackiecation.com. And that's what the PayPal is. The PayPal link is on jackiecation.com and dorkforest.com. And go to any of them. Thanks for listening. There's merch. There's stand-up. There's tour guide. You know, you can find out where I'm touring. This is getting long. So let's get into the show.
Hello and welcome to my garage. It's me, Jackie Cation. With me, stand-up comic, podcaster, and all-around good egg, and someone that I will be hanging out with. We will become friends because we're already on a thread together. Welcome to the Dork Forest, Jasmine Ellis.
Yay! Thanks for having me, Jackie.
There you go. Jasmine Ellis. It's jasmineellis.comedy.com. Mm-hmm. And it's at Jasmine Ellis Comedy on all the things. Yes. And Jasmine is spelled like Jasmine, and Ellis is spelled like Ellis.
Yeah, pretty straightforward. I will say there's so much debate about how to spell it now, but Jasmine has an E at the end. I do it with an E, and there's no E.
Right, so live it up, and you will see it in the notes. Now, you also have a podcast called Rhythm and Bay, and it is about people's music loves, right?
Yes, I talk to funny people about the songs they would put on the playlist of their life.
How many songs do they have to pick?
I only let them choose five because it's such overthink it. It's so funny. Comedians are so self-conscious about like their choices. And I'm just like, no, what speaks to you? What reminds you of family? What reminds you of home? What makes you feel happy? And I love these conversations.
That's nice. So me and Rhinestone Cowboy. Good for me. Yeah. So I was on a show once called The List on VH1. And it was, you had to pick songs that spoke to you for some reason. And I picked all joke songs and was mocked openly by Ray Manzarek from The Doors, which was ridiculous because Ray Manzarek was in The Doors. And I got to meet Steven Seagal and Henry Rollins and Adam Goldberg, of all people.
That is, I grew up on those VH1 talking head shows. Like, I was obsessed with all of those. I love the 80s. That's how I know so much about pop culture I wasn't even alive for. Like, I would eat up the 70s with all of it. I love those shows.
That is exactly why everybody, like, the fact that Carmen Morales is into yacht rock and she calls it yacht rock and it's a term. That is
Michael McDonald.
Yeah, that is you being raised with VH1 celebrating a decade that you weren't around for.
Which is why it's so funny, because millennials, the people in their 30s, like you know, late 20s, early 30s, we jump down the throats of Gen Z for not knowing anything. But they are like one of the first generations to grow up where all the media was around them. It was like we were always kind of like, okay, we had Nickelodeon, but we were always watching what our parents are watching. And yeah, these kids grew up with the TV in the bedroom and their own laptop. So they only focused on what was interesting to them. So they don't even know stuff 5 years past when they were born.
Yeah, they don't know anything because of the YouTube business. Like, they literally are just like, I'm going to look up the Wiggles for the 30,000th time.
Yeah, it's on-demand entertainment. It's my very Gen Alpha goddaughter was, she loves Raven's House, right? And then we tried to get her to watch Raven Simone's show from when we were teenagers. And she goes, this is boring. Why does the mom have her own show? And I was like, oh, get out of here. You will not disrespect Raven.
How old is she?
She is 8, and she is...
Oh, well, 8. That is a brutal age. If you ever performed for children and had, like, more than one 9-year-old give you a thumbs down, it is...
I would never recover.
It is epically accurate, is what it is. Because, okay, so Jasmine Ellis, stand-up comic, finder, jasmineellis.comedy. But here's the scoop. I heard something in the background. Might be your AC. Might be my AC.
Is it too loud?
No, it was just playing, and I've acknowledged it, and now we all know what it is. So calm down. It's 114 degrees.
Yes,
So,
it's very hot.
don't do, yeah. So don't sweat it. I'm over here. Let's talk about your dorkdom, which I thought was kind of super unique. I liked because, and they kind of go together. Like it's fancy makeup, and I wonder if it's available at Ross, Marshalls, and Nordstrom Rack, and then divas from TV and film. Those are all, they all are very, very good looking people that dress themselves up and maybe do it on a budget and yet look fabulous.
That is very me. That is, if you're gonna describe, like, what does she look like? Like, it's all from Ross, but it works.
Right. There's so much effort in it, though. You have to literally cull through racks and racks, right?
And it's so funny. I love dorkdom is a big concept, because anything you're passionate about, you can be a dork about. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, no, I am a dork about makeup and clothes and saving money. And I think that all started from when I was a kid, and like just my favorite. I started thinking about it, and I was like, man, I could give like a college level thesis about TV and film divas, starting all the way back with like watching Muppet Babies and how I looked at
Okay.
Piggy and I was like, I feel seen. Like, this is a puppet of a Caucasian pig, but I feel represented by
She
this.
couldn't be more pink. She couldn't be more pink.
Yes.
I'm trying to remember who I mostly related to is, I think my first crush, I think, was the adolescent Bam Bam
Oh.
because he was just a thug, man. He was just a happy-go-lucky, just box of a man. And then, but I really, but Racer X was truly, like, I never liked Speed Racer. I always liked Racer X. He was a man of mystery.
Ooh.
So, but the, so when you're a kid, you're given a certain amount of money and you're like, well, I have to figure out exactly how to spend it. If you're allowed, if you're taught how to use money when you're a kid, you're like, here's $10. What do you want to spend it on? And you're like, well, maybe I could buy this, or maybe I can get a hair tie, or maybe, you know, is it? So it starts there, and you're watching all of these people who are fabulously dressed by professionals. So how do you go to Ross, or I mean, do you go with your mom or your parents and to Marshall's and
It started, like, it's kind of funny. It's become my like therapy now as an adult now, especially when I go to these, like, so I'm at the stage in my career, I am not a household name. I'm not
Me
there
neither.
yet. But I'm having fun and I'm enjoying things, and I get sent to a lot of middle of nowhere places, like 2, 3 hours away from the airport. But one thing is consistent. They always have a little shopping center that has a Ross, a Marshalls, and a Home. And I make a point of leaving just a little space in my suitcase, not much. I love these discount messes of stores. They get everything that's like 2 to 3 years old from major department stores, and then it's just kind of shoved together. My older sister, she despises it. It's like she's way too type A for it. It's so disorganized, but like it's like the chaos of my brain, but like for sale. I absolutely love gathering. I think that is like one of those stereotypical woman things. And when I'm in a Ross, I feel like I am like serving my purpose. I'm like, I'm gonna gather the most necessary good, even though I don't need it. I know it's very humorous, but it is so soothing to me. Sometimes I will literally pick out a bunch of stuff, and this is gonna sound awful. I'll just leave the cart. I'll go, do you need anything in here? No. Did you find the best stuff? Yes. And then I leave.
Oh, you know what though? You know what? That is therapeutic and also a really good way of not wasting money. Right? Because you're just like, I just did the thing. And I cannot, Ross and Marshall's, I know that there's magic in there, but I've been wearing this shirt for 5 years because I can't face it. And I wish, you know, like I was talking to a friend of mine, I was like, you dress people for a living. Could you do anything with this? And she's like, no, I don't wanna. And I said, I'm wearing cargo shorts right now. And she's like, oh, maybe. Maybe you need help. And I'm like, come on. I don't know how to goad her into fixing how I'm dressed. Sometimes I do call Erin Jackson and ask her where she got the shirt she's wearing. And she's like, it's a Michael Kors. It's over at Macy's, Jackie, just go. And so yeah, so you go in. Well, how do you do it though? What racks do you gravitate towards?
Okay, so what you have to do is you have to have a strategy. I always grab a cart the second I walk in. I sanitize it. Even pre-COVID, I was always sanitizing everything in there because I was like,
You're not wrong.
it feels chaotic, gross. And by the way, it's kind of funny because I have friends that are like, oh, that's awful. Like, it's just junk. But then they love to thrift. And I'm like, that's just junk that a dead person had first. Like,
right.
It's
no kidding.
Mass made garbage. I'm cutting the middleman. All right. So I start with my cart. And then what I like to do is I kind of make a square formation going like down the aisles and do the peripheral. Walk all the way around back to the register. And if anything grabs me, I grab it that way.
Okay, then, you go outside first.
Outside first. Now the stores are like split like this, like they're all built exactly the same, which is, as you can see, as a comic, I go from city to city and it just gives me like a sense of normalcy. Sometimes these towns are a little too, God, they give me a little bit of the, like, you know, sometimes they're fun, but sometimes I'm also like, I don't want to be here all the time. I don't know politically where everybody's at. But you know what everybody loves? A bargain. This is a place where we're all equal. We're all happy. We're all
I literally will look for a chain. I love a Barnes & Noble. I love a Hampton Inn just because of the accidental tourism part of it, where it's soothing. I'm like, well, at least I know where I'm at. I'm safe.
Yeah. And when you're, and whenever you're at the lowest tier of a Marriott hotel, it's across the street from a Marco. it's right there.
I need to look at that now. I need to look. Okay.
It's all by design. That way, if you forget something stupid, it's right there. I will say I definitely have favorites. I prefer a Nordstrom Rack. They tend to be a little bit more faux organized. They're not that clear. I just think because they have the Nordstrom name attached.
There's a pretense to something.
Yes. I love a Nordstrom Rack. One of my favorite ones was in Times Square. Oh, God, that's a solid Nordstrom Rack. Spend an afternoon there.
Wow. All right.
I love that. Ross is kind of, it's like, how to explain it? Ross is kind of like the relationship I have with like Barefoot Wine, where like I know it's not good and there's better options. But it reminds me of my humble beginnings. So
same thing with a Hostess donut over here.
Oh, yes.
The donuts are not a good donut, but they are the best plastic chocolatey donut in the world. And
the chocolate one does taste like the wrapping. That's your favorite?
Oh, it's a delight. I will have a row of donuts and a terrible $3 milk from a gas station. And I mean, it's like one of the guilty foods of my life. It doesn't make me a better person, but it is soothing.
It's a good road trip snack. I'm right there with my grandma cookies. Those are good.
Oh, yeah, I know those.
Speaking of snacks, so I have this word of advice if you guys are dipping into this. Do not buy the food at these stores. There is no regulation on how long it stays in the store. There's never any expiration dates. Don't do it. I don't care. If you're like, oh, it's December 12th, I'm in line, and I see this adorable box of hot chocolate snowmen. Obviously, this is from last Christmas.
Right.
Do not get it. Never, ever, ever buy anything to eat at any of these stores.
Okay, so novelty, it's like they have the novelty foods because they don't have like, it's not like going to the 99 cents only store where you're like, well, if I'm buying this. When I first moved here, I said to my roommate, I would never buy food at the 99 cents only because we would go there and spend $5 because we were broke. And it was soothing. And I was like, I would never buy food there. And she looked at me, she said, everything you eat out of our pantry is from there. It is from Saudi Arabia. It is from Mexico. It is from everywhere that isn't here.
I will say California has because California has those strict guidelines on like what plastics can be sold. It's kind of funny. This is going to sound terrible. The discount experience in California is way less fun because they won't sell you as much cancer. So there's less cancer means less products. And it's kind of a letdown. Like if I'm in like middle of nowhere, Wisconsin, it is like
on.
I walk through the doors and it's like the beginning of come with me in a world of pure desecration. It's just stuff.
Oh my gosh. That is hilarious.
Everything.
Okay. So you start at the outside, you and your cart, and then you sort of, do you work outside? Like then just keep doing the square kind of inside and inside and inside.
So I go, and it depends. I was just in a Marshalls. So I'm giving you my closest Marshalls patterns, which was so funny too, by the way. I was supposed to come over and make content with my friend. And she was like, oh, give me 15 minutes. I have to walk the dog. And I was like, oh, a Marshalls. And then It was like I fell through a time hole. And when I got, I didn't look at my phone the entire, I didn't look at my phone the entire time. And I had been in there for, I thought I had been there for 15 minutes and it had been in an hour. And I was like, how? And
so
I just,
sorry.
I got two shirts. I am very proud of my self-control on these things. Right. But yeah, so I start with the peripheral. Then if something truly catches my eye, I go there and then I go down that aisle. So if I'm like, oh, what is that, like a set of hot rollers? I haven't used hot rollers in a long time. Now I'm in the beauty section. Now beauty, you got to really go through. Do not buy makeup at these places. If you do.
Is it like novelty food? Is it the same problem?
Yes. It's very old and expired. If you look up the makeup, like you can look up batch numbers on the bottom of them. So you can find out how old something is. This is, you have to dedicate time to this. So right. Sometimes you do find some gems, some makeup that is just, Ulta just had too many. Sometimes that happens, but other times it's something that's expired or defective. So always check the batch numbers. The good ones, I like when they put it in the plastic case all around it. I don't trust it when it's just a loose box because someone's going to stick their whole hand in it and test the eyeshadows and stuff. And then you've got somebody's fingertips on your face. So I have my rule.
That's a good rule. Oh my gosh.
Perfumes are a winner. Perfume is just fancy water. And there's so many perfumes are one of those that last forever. You can find really good ones. I guess I should have put this on one of my dorkdoms too. I enjoy poorly made celebrity fragrances.
Why poorly made? Are they just funny to you? And then you're just like, yes. I'm wearing it anyway.
There's a certain, we're never going to be in this era of celebrity again. There used to be a point where Beyonce every 2 months would have a different version of heat pulse, heat sexy, heat noir. And it was like the same perfume, but in different bottles. That is so funny to me when they smell exactly the same, like, you know, just a little bit of cayenne pepper and flowers and open and they all smell the same. And I mean, and now like everyone's all about like the super, super luxury. It's all about like no one's ever heard of it. And like celebrities aren't celebrities the way they used to be. You know what I mean? I can't tell you which girl is huge on TikTok. I don't know the dancers, but like early 2000s when J-Lo and Jessica Simpson and Britney Spears and Paris Hilton and all of these like celebutantes had fragrances and they smell awful. Ross is where they go to die. Ross and Marshalls, and they're everywhere. So don't turn your nose up at the perfume section. Go through the perfume.
Go through and can you smell them? Is it okay to open them and smell them or is?
No. So okay. Most of the time they're sealed closed. So yep. That's kind of too, it's okay. Listen, I don't gamble. I just gamble with my money. You know
right.
What I mean?
So you're just like, this is the most hilarious idea in the world. I'm going to buy this. And then if it doesn't smell good, I'm not going to wear it. Yeah. Is that the jam? Okay.
Yes, but sometimes the bottles themselves are just so pretty or over the top. Oh, yeah. It's pretty to have in your house. Like, yeah. There's perfumes that I despise the smell of, but I'm like, this bottle's gorgeous. So it's just, oh my God, we're making it back to the divas because Miss Piggy had this whole tray of perfumes. And I just...
Oh, always in the background. Yeah, a tray
yes!
of...
Yes! Yeah. I think I've been trying to recreate that my whole life.
Can you tell what other people are wearing a perfume? Like what they're wearing sometimes?
I have a pretty good nose when it comes to that. Although I will say all of these perfume houses, they copy each other. So there's really maybe 10 unique fragrances. Okay. And then everything else is just like the same smells being recycled. So everything's either like a vanilla base, a spice base, a citrus base, or a clean base, you know? So
okay.
I can usually... Also, well, most people wear like this, there's really like five or six perfumes everybody wears. So like I promise you, if you walk into any space with men in it, somebody is wearing Acqua di Gioia.
Okay.
Someone's wearing YSL Man. Someone is, if it's in LA, they're for sure wearing Chanel Blue.
Okay.
Kind of classic, kind of expensive. And then, yeah, an Axe body spray. Those are just
right. I did an episode with Pasha, my buddy Pasha about men's cologne and perfume. Mm-hmm. And boy, did I not know what he was talking about. And but he does always smell good. Every time I hug him, I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, you smell good. So I use soap and that is all. But I But what was the specific thing you said about the makeup? There was a term that you used that made me laugh.
It's a lot of just discontinued makeup. Some of it can be like straight up expired. You don't know. So like do your research on whatever it is you buy before you put it on your face. I think it's worth it to just
get it. How much is this stuff? The stuff isn't that expensive, right? It's $3 or $5 or.
And that's that's the beauty of it, is it gives us poor folks the chance to just have unlimited consumerism. Because it's like, no matter where I'm at financially, I have $25 from Marshalls.
Okay.
I do. Well, then again, things are going up. But perfume tends to be at least at a huge fragment from what it costs in the regular stores. But it's discontinued.
I will say that I was talking to a friend of mine who had, she was like, I have shopping issues. And I was like, I mean, I could tell her to go to Debtors Anonymous or I could tell her to go to the 99 cent store, which is what I used to do when I was just sad. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to buy something. I didn't want to be as broke as I was. Yeah. I didn't want to be as poor as I was. And I was like, well, if I can go spend $5 at a 99 cents, I need, at the very least, I can get one of those toys where you have the ball that you bounce with the paddle. And I'm like, look, I got that. And that was 99 cents.
It's also a bonding thing for me. Like it's, you know, whether I have there were so many times where I was broke and me and my friends in college would just go, you want to go Ross? Let's go. And we'd walk around and maybe like four of us would be together and one of us would buy a candle. But that was we killed an hour together. And so, oh gosh, this is so bad. My family is sometimes me and my sister, I miss her so much all the time. My little sister, we will call each other and I'll be like, what are you doing? And she's like, girl, you know, I'm at Ross. I'm at Marshall's right now too. And we'll just stay on the phone with each other and like, turn FaceTime on. Like, do you think I need this for my kitchen? And it's,
I love that. I called my sister the other day just to say, hey, so I put too much vinegar in this pork thing. How am I fixing that? And she's like, you have any jelly? And I was like, I have jelly. And she's like, you need to cut it with something sweet. And I was like, jelly? And she's like, if jelly's okay, do you have a grape jelly? And I said, how about a teaspoon of sugar? And she's like, do whatever you want to do, but I'm telling you. But what I do is, because she knows things about, you know, and we also talk about coffee. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, a lot about coffee.
By the way, apricot jelly on a pork chop, so good.
Oh, yeah. It is something that people do love. They love a fruit and a meat, which I usually am against, but apricots actually might slip under the wire. Cherries, I'm offended. Too sweet. Take it away. Okay, so limited edition pop culture. We've already sort of slid into it because that's what you're talking about, right?
Oh, yes. So the makeup palettes, and I keep up with all the releases. Now, I have, you'd be surprised as much as all of them. And everything you can think of, if it appealed to women, there is some type of a eyeshadow palette, a makeup palette, a nail polish collection inspired by it. It started small. Back in like 2009, there was a Muppets movie and OPI released a Muppets collect. I'm talking about the Muppets a lot. A Muppets collection of nail polish. So I got them and I was like, I love this. Now, the only thing is I always have to remind myself, when I take the packaging off this, will I still like it? Because a lot of times everything that makes you smile about something is the box it comes in. So you have to visualize it. I even have to, like, I do this to keep myself from shopping. I'll take something off the display and walk around with it. And then I'll be like, is this actually that exciting? Or was it beautiful when it was next to 100 things that look like it? You know?
Right.
So I know I sound like a shopaholic, but I have a lot of like anti-shopaholic
things
that I do.
Yeah. You have tools that you use when you are, because the thing is everybody loves something, right? Mm-hmm. And you can get sucked into it and you're just like, well, now I own all of this thing and I actually don't like it. What you have is you're like, I love this thing. I'm going to drive around in my cart in the store for a half an hour and then look at it again with new eyes. It's a second draft of whether or not you're going to buy that item.
Yes. So, the makeup palettes to me have gotten out of control. I think there's way too many of them. Like I just saw Urban Decay had one for She-Hulk. Ain't nobody going to buy that. 13 shades of green. No one's buying this eyeshadow palette.
What website are you finding the new releases of?
For the longest, so I like, you know, in and out of doing comedy, the whole time I've been doing comedy, I have always had some kind of part-time job and it's always been in cosmetics. So I was working at Ulta, but then you're on the emails for them. So Ulta and Sephora are the big ones, but I also have ColourPop and Makeup Revolution are absolutely egregious with how many of these they do. I bought the Hocus Pocus lipsticks last fall.
Well, it was Halloween.
I needed it. I have a rent called I Smell Children. I love it.
I Smell Children.
Gross.
Gross.
There was but there's a lot of times there's pop culture I love, but to me the makeup looks cheap, so I won't buy it. Like, there was, I love The Simpsons. I wasn't crazy about The Simpsons eyeshadow palette, so I was like, this looks good.
Their color palette isn't great.
Yes, I have rules that it has to be like, it has to be quality. I have to think I'm going to use it. And then the packaging on the outside has to last, because like after you use up an eyeshadow palette, I will keep it and just turn it into a compact. So I have a mirror that's like Disney villains themed or like Sailor Moon themed. But if I don't think I'm going to like the compact once the makeup is done, then I won't do it. It is weird to kind of collect something that expires.
Yeah.
Or that you like.
You used it and you used it up. Not now. So what you're talking about is an actual compact, right? Like clamshell. Hello.
That's what it becomes when there's nothing in it.
Yeah, that's exactly. So you just clean it out and then you could keep, I don't know, pills, weed, you know, the constitution, whatever you want. Like you could, you know,
I hadn't thought about putting drugs in it. That's a good idea, actually.
Well, they're legal now. So you need to keep it, but you could keep anything. It's like literally, and you could collect anything. I am going to turn this around.
Yeah.
And in the corner, if you could see it, is that in the corner is a spear.
Uh-huh.
And it is a prop from Xena the Warrior Princess. One of the extras carried it, and it's just, and we have a box of swords. Andy went to a prop sale, and he bought swords and scabbards and spears, and he gave some away and he didn't give some away, and we have many of them. So what I like is that we continue to like use them, right? I mean, he used them at the time for an actual game that he was in. He was in a live action role playing game where everyone needed swords. But now nobody needs them. He hasn't played in the LARP in years. That's not because he doesn't want to. It just hasn't come up. But I'm glad that you reuse the packaging. That's actually really helpful.
Yeah, I mean, it makes me feel better about being like, you know, because I did a lot of the stuff. It's like, you already have eyeshadow. Did you need this eyeshadow? No, but it's themed after this thing, you know, and there are some things that I'm like, this is stupid. I'm not going to buy it. Then there's some things. One thing I don't like, though, is a lot of times the palettes are like, it's just not stuff that would make sense for me at all, like color wise. Like
right. Green, for example.
Yeah I'm not going to wear green. Not 10 shades of it. Not an entire She-Hulk collect. There, a lot of the ones for Marvel movies never sell well. They always go on clearance and then you find them at Ross.
Right. So if you're like, oh, I want a Kate Bishop Hawkeye set, and she wears a lot of purple.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw the. Okay. So, well, that's kind of interesting. And then, see, because what I'm always looking for is a dressy top
mm-hmm.
that will go with my jeans or with my black pants. That because I have one current, I currently have one pair of pants that I don't mind what I look like in. Mm-hmm. And so they are the pants that I bring and I wear every night. Feel free to come see me in Portland next week, you guys. Anyway, you see those pants, but I can't find. When you get to clothes, what are you looking for? Because they aren't organized.
And I think that might be why I buy so much of the other stuff, because clothes is really where it becomes a task. First of all, you have to look everywhere. I go through men's, even though I'm only shopping for myself sometimes.
Yeah.
I start all the way at petites, even though I wear like a 16, I'm still looking at the small sizes, because also there are those bitches who like to hide stuff because they're like, they're not sure if they want. No, keep it in your cart until you're ready to leave, then put it back.
Right.
I hate someone who's like, oh, I'm not sure, so I'm going to put it back behind the. No, once it's out of your hands, it's mine.
Okay? Right. Right. It's like chess. You let go of it. It's my turn.
Yes.
And yeah, so keep it in the cart. It's like. It's a terrible job. Everyone knows that retail is a terrible job, and restocking is a big portion of it. Yes. So keep it in the cart, and then they're like, okay, I guess I have to restock all this nonsense.
If you find something you like and it's not in your size, don't give up. Hold on to that thing in the wrong size, because that's what I do is I start all the way through. So I'll find like a size small shirt. Although sometimes there is that, this is what's frustrating, is like I'm in that cusp between plus and regular, or standard size, I guess. And with plus, if it's plus, it's plus. But with standard, they might have it. So
yeah.
If I find something and it's not the right size, I'll hold on to it until I find its twin. Mm-hmm. And that, like, I have like a little flag and I look for it. And another thing you want to do is like when you get ready to try on. Now, lately, I haven't been trying stuff on because I'm worried about monkeypox. It's giving me the yucks. And I've been washing everything when I get home, which is a dangerous game because a lot of this stuff is too cheap to wash.
Right. You just wear it once and call it.
Oh, yeah. It just comes out of the dryer as a pile of glitter. But I love when you go up to the dressing room. If you look at the racks lining the dressing rooms, a lot of times anything you, because it's stuff people wanted enough to try on. The best stuff are on those racks.
Yeah.
That you never know. And then you got to pay attention. You flip it inside out. If you get a shirt, like if you're looking for a shirt, flip it inside out. Make sure loose strings, loose buttons, zippers, whatever. It can be something you know how to fix, but girl, that's 5, 10, 15, 20% off.
Right. They'll give you I went shopping one time with a friend of mine, and she always got a couple of bucks off of everything. Cause she's like, you see this? This is there's trouble here. And whoever's working the register is like, fine.
10%. Fine. The only thing though is they will tell you can't return it. So
yeah.
I draw the line of like, if I absolutely love this enough that I feel like putting in the physical labor to fix this problem, then sure. But I'm getting my money off.
Okay. Yeah. That's
awesome. A big one. Pants are hard. I feel like they'd be selling irregular pants at Ross. Like,
It's
not the same size.
Right. And yeah, seconds and irregulars, are those common enough or in those places or?
I don't think they announce them. And sometimes I find that like the like Saks, like the fancier of the discount stores, the Saks and the Nordstrom Rack.
Yeah.
Find stuff that like this is such and such name brand. And then you look at it and it's like something's wrong with this. This stitching is off, but it's Calvin Klein, but it's BCBG. You know, it's a line I've heard of.
Yeah.
Why is it? And it's
I used to sell seconds and irregulars at college. All of the t-shirts and sweatshirts that we sold, my boss would get seconds and irregulars so we could sell them. I mean, you could get a University of Wisconsin Bucky Badger t-shirt or a sweatshirt for $15.
Ooh.
And it was a hooded sweatshirt and it was white and it was, you know, it was a pretty cool looking sweatshirt, but it was slightly, you know, it wasn't that bad, but the tags were always cut. And people would sometimes ask, why are the tags cut? And I was like, oh, it must have been a mistake. Essentially, I would lie. And then
where you see the worst of that, like straight up, I mean, this is just bootleg stuff, is the lowest rung of these stores is a nightmare of a monstrosity called Dee Dee's Discounts.
Okay. How do you spell that?
Dee Dee's Discounts, DD Discount, like DD.
Just the letter D. Not D-E-E. Okay, not like, I always think of the little sister of Dexter or whatever.
Yes, yeah, like not D-E-D-E, just D-D. Okay. D-D's okay. Discounts is where Ross's products go to die. So it's like once it's gone like.
Oh, they're all over the place, by the way.
Bloomie's, Saks, Macy's, yeah, they're everywhere. Bloomie's, Saks, Macy's.
Nordstrom
Rack,
yeah,
Marshall's, Ross, Dee Dee's.
Okay.
Dee Dee's is its own little ring of hell. You're gonna find Michael Jordan shoes that have like the Jumpman has two arms up instead of one. you're gonna find stuff from like 10, 15 years ago. It's a great place to find leftovers from celebrities' failed clothing lines. If you're wondering, like, does P. Diddy still make clothes at Dee Dee's Discount? He never stopped. But those are some of, listen, at a Dee Dee's, I found one thing at a Dee Dee's that I still have to say, and it was a suitcase.
Okay. I mean, those are triumphs, though. That's kind of, I mean, you get sort of like a huge, you're like, oh, I saw that. I saw J-Lo or I saw, I don't know, famous people.
Yeah. And
Mariah,
this,
yeah.
And the suitcase so far has just like, it's my absolute backup plan suitcase. I just have it.
Yeah.
Terrible, but it worked in the moment. I had a trip where I came home with too much shit. And I needed something to put my stuff from the other stores in. So.
I bought, one of those, it was literally Chinese, but there are different Asian markets out there. And what you can get is amazing kitchen items and luggage. And I had luggage from this Chinese store that was underneath my favorite dim sum place for a decade, for 15 years, until one time it broke so bad that all of my clothes went all over the thing. And I was very, very embarrassed. And so I put it in the thing and I was so embarrassed. I went and I spent $1,000 on a piece of luggage.
Oh,
I was so mad. But get this, it was a Tumi. And I have since become addicted to that brand. And
I knew you'd say it was Tumi, because Tumi is like, I feel like comedians have a lot of pride in our luggage. I feel like it's one of those things, you get a luggage conversation going, and then we're talking, and listen, I'm at the Samsonite level. That means I am headlining B rooms across the country.
You guys, Jasmine Ellis, comedy.com, get her an A room. Somebody get her into the improvs so that she can get a Tumi situation going. Just one. They have four wheels, and I just got both of them fixed for free. Mm-hmm. If you take it to Tumi, I was like, two of the zippers on this thing are broken, and this one, the prop thing is, could you fix these? And she's like, it's, you pay for shipping, we fix it. And I was like, and then they sell you a loaner, they loan you a, I just spent, it's a $400 down payment that they give you back.
Okay.
When you return it. But you know what? There's a reason I pick a certain piece of luggage.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the piece of luggage that is chosen so that it is comfortable for me. And this was not that luggage. And it was very irritating. We travel so much.
Yeah, it's important. It's like, honestly, like I was explaining this to my husband. I was like, buying a suitcase is a little bit like buying a car for me. Like, I have to think about like how it drives, how it handles. Because you're going to, like, when you're walking through like tons of, I mean, I'm very happy with my Samsonite, which like I did not get at Ross and Marshall's. Mm-hmm. I did not. I went to the actual Samsonite outlet, but it was a very important, it's an important decision. And mine had a crack in it. It wasn't even fully broken. It was just like a crack at the bottom. Mm-hmm. And they replaced it completely for me and didn't even make me pay the shipping. And it was a $400 suitcase. So
right. So you've spent some money on suitcases because you have to. Mm-hmm. And the weird thing is that once you, it's exactly like buying a car because people always say in Los Angeles that there's a lot nicer cars than any other place. It's because of traffic. Mm-hmm. If you're going to spend 4 hours a day, every day in your car, it has to be comfortable. You have to have all of the things that you want in your car is your castle in Los Angeles. So you're going to spend most of your money either on, like, because I'm a comic, when I first moved here, I didn't care about my car because I was always driving against traffic to get to open mics and my day job. So I spent all of my money on my apartment. And I was like, no, I need to go home and feel safe. And it has to be, it can be tiny, but I have to be able to clean it. And it has to be able to be like kind of nice.
Yes.
So I spent all my money on my, but then, you know, eventually you're just like, well, I would like, you know, it just depends how much time you spend in the, and all of my time is spent rolling these stupid pieces of luggage around. So they have to be nice.
Yes. And I also like, it has to, I love my luggage so much. It's black, but it has gold zippers.
The other day, so you can tell.
This guy like walked up and he was trying to take my suitcase. And I was like, sir, that's mine. He was like, oh, how can you tell? And I was like, the gold zippers and the pink jasmine tag, sir.
Sir, exactly. Because I see, like, there's a lot of, like, the same. I always get the name where they put the letters from your name on it because it's free to me.
Monogramming.
That, thank you for the word. That's the word. And I always get that because then I know that I don't have to check tags and stuff. Then I could just go, oh, there's Andy's one and there's my one. And now I have my two pieces of luggage. And
I was like buying luggage at these discount stores. Here's the thing. What they do is to make money is they split up sets and it's never super high quality. But you get what you get with those. If you just need a bag while you're out, it makes a difference. But don't spend too much on them. They're usually not that.
If you're gonna spend money, go to a specific luggage and roll it around a little bit.
If you take more than 12 trips a year, you need to invest in your luggage. If you're going to the airport more than 12 times a year, like that's more than, if you do the average, that's once a month, then it's an important part of your life.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. That is an excellent piece of advice. Okay, so I want to ask you next about the divas in TV and film besides Miss Piggy. are you getting fashion tips from them, or you just like how shiny they are? What is happening?
It's kind of funny. My relationship with it has changed. Now that I am, you know, getting into writing comedy and wanting to write television, I'm thinking about the way that these women are portrayed. Because, like, from a very young age, though, I always joke and say I never went through a not like other girls phase. I was always like, I'm exactly like that girl. Yes, I love her. Growing up in like the 90s and 2000s, I do feel like a lot of the portrayals of women were really one dimensional. Either it was just a female character who didn't contribute much and didn't have much going on, or she was like, the audience was supposed to perceive her as annoying or bitchy or bad. And I love those persons. I love if someone was
like, you like the trouble, the ones who are mixing it up. Okay.
Yes. You know, because they'd always be fabulous. They'd be fabulous and they'd be owning it. And I was like, are they actually a problem, or is everyone around them just boring?
So like, amen.
Yes. And if you look at shows like A Different World, for example, you know, Whitley definitely starts out as like she's the diva, and she starts out a little bit like the villain. And then we get to know her more as a person. And I just always, I don't know, I've just always loved glamour. I used to watch like beauty pageants on TV. And I think the act of, I don't say putting yourself together, because that implies you're not together before. Right. I think the act of playing with your appearance in different ways, especially the hyper feminine, is just so fun. I mean, it's the reason why people love drag. And I'm like, you know, I'm my own version of a drag queen when I feel like it. And I love seeing people celebrate that. So some of my favorites, like I said, Whitley from A Different World, Hillary from The Fresh Prince is one of my absolute favorites. Me and my little sister, when she came to visit me, she was like, we got to go to Beverly Hills. And I was like, okay. And we had a dress up day. Like, literally, I forget how much people in LA do not dress up. In fact, making an effort with your appearance makes you look like both crazy and poor.
Right. Like, you can't, in LA, you're not supposed to look like you're trying. You're like, no, I just threw together this amazing outfit.
But it's so funny, because it's people with like millions of dollars of plastic surgery wearing a sweatshirt that costs $400.
Right.
That they slept on the ground to get to look. Everyone wants to look like shit, but important shit. And I would rather spend $30 on my outfit and be like, I love this.
Yeah.
Is it trendy? No. Did it make me happy? Yes. So we literally dressed up as Hillary Banks and went and had and we went and had brunch at this country club, and it was that's like, I love,
and they were like, oh, tourism, and you're like, yes, we are having the time of our lives.
Yes. I just leaned into it fully. Didn't even act like I lived there. I mean, it was ridiculous. Like, houndstooth with like the over the top fake Chanel button. Like, very, if you remember Hillary Banks from Fresh Prince, I was there. Right. My favorite diva movie in the whole world, if you're familiar with this, you're going to love it. It's called Jackie's Back, and it stars Jennifer Lewis. Have you seen it?
Nope. Oh! I have not. Is it a romantic comedy?
No, it is a mockumentary comedy. And that is one of my favorite genres. And it has Tim
Charles Barkley.
Yes.
Ricky Lake, Penny Marshall, Bette Midler, Liza Minnelli.
Yep.
What? Rosie O'Donnell, Dolly Parton, David Hyde Pierce, Grace Slick, Jo Beth Williams, Julie Negerty, Kathy Griffin, Whoopi Goldberg, Melissa Etheridge, Loretta Devine, Don Cornelius, Jackie Collins, and Diane Carroll?
Yep. So the premise, it is my favorite movie in the world. Okay, the premise of this is ridiculous. It is about this like washed up diva planning her comeback, played by Jennifer Lewis, who played the mom on Blackish and is just extraordinary in everything she does. And she is very delusional and has like not the best relationship with her kids. And she, there's all these flashbacks to like what she was doing in the 70s and 80s. And she's this hilariously tragic over the top character. And oh my God, it's just, there's so many funny scenes. David Hyde Pierce plays this like a pianist and they instantly don't click. And it's so funny. And then Tim Curry is like making a documentary about her. And he's just like, it is his accent is the most Britishy it's ever been, and like kind of smug, and it's just God, there's these parts and all these like failed products she tries to sell are hilarious, like this like relaxer made out of pickle juice that makes people go bald. It's so fucking funny. I saw that when I was like 12 years old, and I bought it on DVD.
That's the sweet spot right there.
It was a life-affirming movie for me. And all those people you just named are cameos of people who get interviewed about her. And Whoopi Goldberg plays her sister, who she like stepped on to get to the top. And it's so funny. It's just,
oh my God.
I love silly. I think divas are some of the funniest archetypes of people, because people who take themselves too seriously are so funny. And I love that. I love everything about that.
I'm trying to get it from Netflix DVD because I'm 100 years old and we still get DVDs.
I didn't know that was a thing. Netflix DVD is a thing?
Yeah, it's still a thing. You could still, matter of fact, why am I trying that before just going to Netflix? And it's called Jackie's what? I forget.
Jackie's back. I don't know where she's at. All I know is Jackie's back. That's the theme song.
What is happening? That is the song. Oh, there it is. Explore title. See, I knew they would only have it on DVD. And I, for some reason, my password is different for Netflix DVD than it is for regular Netflix.
I have a copy. You are so welcome to borrow it.
There we go. I will borrow it. We have a DVD player.
Another Divas movie before we like, I just want to tell you guys about this real quick because you need to watch it. It's called A Diva's Christmas Carol. It's a Christmas Carol, but with Vanessa Williams.
What? Vanessa Williams.
Imagine if Ebenezer Scrooge was Ebony Scrooge. And she is the lead singer of a Diana Ross-esque in the Supremes group. And then the other ones die and they come to haunt her. And it's like everything you know about A Christmas Carol, but as a
absolute... Christmas Carol.
A Diva's Christmas Carol. It was a VH1. Both of the movies I told you about were TV movies. And right. My guests tracked them down because once they stopped airing them, I was like, I have to own these. In my collection next to the entirety of Golden Girls. And that's all I own.
Oh my God. I have, I just bought some more DVDs that we have not watched yet, but we're busy playing catch up on 1,000 British murder mysteries. So, but Christmas right around the corner for me. And I will watch a Diva's Christmas Carol every year if I like it. And because we have so many Christmas movies and I'm always looking for a new one.
Yeah.
And and I love Vanessa Williams.
I mean, it doesn't seem anything extraordinary. It is absolutely a Christmas Carol movie.
Exactly what that is all that I want out of it. I want it to be exactly that and done well or done poorly with panache and style. That is all I ask out of any of that nonsense. It's my favorite. Okay, so so those are TV movies that were that. So who are your favorite current sort of diva-y people that, and do you look at them and think to yourself look at the makeup or how they do the makeup or how they dress and try to duplicate that ever? Or do you just appreciate them for what they're doing with themselves?
Yes and no. I think the influence sinks its way in. I rewatched the Nanny, and I think the Nanny's very much a diva. And you see I'm wearing leopard right now.
Right.
A diva people now. I feel like those characters come in and out of fashion. There'll be like one or two on a TV show who I just adore. The most recent one I can think of that I loved was obviously Moira Rose and what is the daughter's name? Both on the Shun Schitt's Creek, the daughter and the mother. I think very much the mother. Moira Rose having like a wall of wigs. And just her like made up accent that she has, David, we're going to have to contact the press. Like, it's just, it's a thing that doesn't even exist. I love that. That is so funny to me.
It is a non.
It's a non-regional. There's no region that talks like this. Like, she made it up.
There's no people that talk like that. She just literally is like, no, this is how I am talking. And yes. Yeah, that's so great. That's hilarious.
I love the Mindy Project has been off the air for almost 10 years. Gosh, I'm showing my age here, but I adored the Mindy Project and the exaggerated version of Mindy Kaling played by like the Mindy Lahiri character.
Right.
It's very much that. I just, a lot of my comfort TV shows that I like to just have on in the background, I'll tell my husband, he's like, what do you want to watch? And I'm like, I don't know, something with a well-dressed woman taking control of her life. Okay. And I'm having a bad day.
Is that okay? Is that all right? Just someone who has their shit together and they seem to be doing it correctly. How about that?
Yes. And I do feel like we're showing more. I think they're showing more dimension of those type of characters. Yeah. And instead of being like the villain or the foil to some like, you know, cute tennis shoes dressed every girl, we're showing women have so much versatility and they can be all these things. They can be glam or not glam or like smart and glam and dumb and glam, and you know what I mean, give me so many more things. So I love that. God, I'm trying to think of like current ones. What have I been watching lately? What We Do in the Shadows, I would say Nadja is a little bit of a diva.
You're far more current than me. I'm watching shows from, I don't know, 2012. There's no, I'm just trying to catch up, you guys. The only thing I'm current on are all of sort of the comic book ones, and there's no reason for me to quote those people. I mean, not that, oh, the old one that we're what do you think, and I don't know that you've ever seen this show, is the Frankie and Grace and Frankie.
Grace is absolutely a diva.
Jane Fonda character.
Yes, she's
80.
I love it.
I don't even understand how they can work 6 hours a day when you're 80 or 90 years old and they're doing TV shows and there's five seasons or whatever seasons.
I love, that is one of those shows that I come in and out of, and I love it. I love the older daughter of the two characters too. Who's
like, oh, right, right.
Yes,
the blonde, like sort of, she's a corporate-y lady. I was going to say in a red dress. Guess how many episodes I've seen with her? What?
She's so good at that kind of character, though. I love the stressed out person who's trying to control 900 things at once.
Yeah.
I love it. And she's so good at that. Grace and Frankie's great.
Okay. Well, speaking of the elderly, do you want to weigh in very briefly on the Golden Girls, the only other thing that you own?
Keeping it brief on the Golden Girls. Okay. So, like, these are the boxes for my Golden Girls Funko Pops right here.
Oh, you have Funko Pop Golden Girls?
They're organized on the whole wall behind me. I just went to a Golden Girls pop-up restaurant in Beverly Hills like 2 weeks ago.
How is it? Mm-hmm. I know what a pop-up restaurant is, not one that's there. It's just they come in. What made it Golden Girls?
So they did a really good job of creating space in the thing that looked like the Golden Girls set. There's like a kitchen that looks just like their kitchen. And then there's a whole set of, just take pictures, called Blanche. It's like Blanche's boudoir.
Okay.
So remember the character Blanche has like all those palm leaves on everything. So it's that. I took pictures over there. The food was not good.
That's unfortunate.
You know, but
kind of on point though, because imagine what they're eating.
You know, I was okay. But like, you know, Sophia, the character, if you're familiar with you watch Golden Girls?
Yeah. I've seen it.
Supposed to be this amazing Italian cook. And so they had this thing on the menu that was like Sophia's lasagna. And I was like, oh no, this is Prego's lasagna. This is very sweet, very mass made.
Yeah, that's not cool. Cause lasagna is something you eat when you're like, this is going to be totally worth every calorie.
Yeah. I didn't love the food. The decoration was really cute. It was a fun experience. It felt a little strange the way they do things. You have to like reserve a specific time. It was kind of when you do the math on it, it's not that expensive, but like $70 for two people to eat isn't that bad, but there was no alcohol, which I thought was a little kind of a letdown. Like it was nowhere to get alcohol at all.
Oh, right. Didn't they drink? I thought they drank on the show.
They do. I think maybe they just didn't have their liquor license for this space, but
fair enough.
The TVs were playing episodes. There were like framed pictures of the cast and like signed stuff. It was, oh my gosh.
That's fun.
There were so many people dressed in character. I just wore like a Golden Girls t-shirt with a little sequins bolero and top. Very old lady. I love that. And my husband, he's like, whatever, I'll wear whatever you tell me to. So I put him in this like Hawaiian shirt and khakis.
Yes.
exactly like all of their wait staff. Like, it was the uniform. I was like, don't meander when you get up to go to the restroom.
Right, someone's going to ask for water.
Oh man, it was fun. And to me, Golden Girls is one of the best sitcoms ever written. And I think they cracked the formula for female friendship dynamics when it comes to sitcoms. I think if you look at every sitcom that exists, every single sitcom that exists post Golden Girls, they have the four archetypes, which are a little bit limiting sometimes, but okay. Every show that has four personalities, there's your Blanche, there's your Rose, there's your Sophia, there's your Dorothy.
Okay.
Sex and the City. Samantha.
Yes.
Okay.
She's Blanche.
She's absolutely your Blanche. She's sex crazed, glamour.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Your Blanche always represents the most dramatic version of everything the show could be about. Okay.
Okay.
So you got your Samantha. Then you got your Carrie is your Dorothy because she's a little bit more your grounded character.
Okay.
You got Charlotte is your Rose. Not necessarily dumb, but idealistic.
Okay.
Parallel lines. Like Cheers had a Rose. If you think about it, Woody was the dumb one, and then there was the sex. There's always dumb, sexy.
Yep.
A little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And the center. And every show has that. And like bringing
it. Who was the center on Golden Girls?
On Golden Girls, the center is Dorothy. Dorothy is the catalyst of the show.
Which is Bea Arthur. Right?
Bea Arthur gets divorced and she's been with Blanche. Blanche is already living with Rose. And then her Sophia, her mother, her Shady Pines, the horrible nursing home she's at, burns down. And that's the catalyst for the show. So Dorothy kind of represents the more grounded version of the life. There's always like, you have your person who's your more grounded version. And then you have the person who almost, they don't dislike each other, but sometimes they seem to be wildly opposed. And that's your Dorothy and your Blanche. So like, if you look at like, Living Single, mm-hmm. You know, you got, I'm kind of undoing my own theory there.
But I like the breakdown of what those characters are because that's so, I mean, when you write those characters, when you watch a sitcom, you're like, oh, I kind of recognize, like, I don't know. I don't watch any sitcoms, sadly right now, but Ghosts on the HBO Max from Great Britain. Mm-hmm. That's the only one. And there's 11 characters. So it is nice that there are these archetypes and you're like, as long as you think that the Golden Girls uses those types more interestingly than other sitcoms.
I do. And you know what? This is going to sound like, I do think they use it more interestingly than other sitcoms. And it's just more consistent because you can watch any scene with them. And whether you're watching an episode from season one or season seven, you know who's going to talk in what beat. Dorothy's going to come in and say hello. And then Blanche is going to kind of half ignore her and say something about herself, which is going to make Dorothy say something mean to her, but not that mean. And then Rose will try to contribute. And what she'll say is kind of dumb. And then Sophia will make fun of what Rose just said. And it's like, it's a balance. And it's just, but I feel like every show with four, maybe not even four women, every show with four kind of has a rhythm that I think is very similar. I mean, I could go into like I could talk about the Tao of Golden Girls all day. Like sometimes I even think it represents astrology. Okay. Dorothy is your earth sign. All right. Yeah. She's grounded. She's down to earth. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Rose is your air sign. Air is free flowing. It's all over the place. It can even, you know, air sign people can sometimes seem dumb or flighty. Mm-hmm. Blanche is your fire sign.
Right.
You know,
hot seat.
I mix it up. Rose is your water sign.
Okay.
Water sign people.
Flow.
Sweet to the point of seeming stupid sometimes. So that's water signs. Okay. And then air signs are a little crazy. That's Sophia.
Okay.
Fire signs are fiery. And then earth is earth. So like, earth, wind, fire, right there. Listen, I just think Golden Girls sets up the next 20 years of sitcoms and makes them work so well. And it is just so soothing to me. And the one-liners are just so good. Like,
the writing on it is, I mean, it is, sometimes it is like a scalpel where they just get in there and you're like, it'll take me out of the show sometimes where I'm like, oh no. I would like to actually write that down because it was so funny. And
I feel like we can't pull that off anymore sometimes with writing because it's just like people's pace of what they enjoy isn't that fast anymore. I don't know. I miss how quippy that show was, so damn quippy and just good. Ugh.
Yeah, I mean, I do love it.
Four performers at the top of their game. Just amazing.
Jasmine Ellis, it has been an hour. Just so you know that it has gone by. And I've actually learned things about how to shop at some of these places. They're a mess of a store. So when I go in, I get overwhelmed. But what you've done is I see why it's a Zen thing for you, because you're like, I know exactly what I'm not looking for. I'm just going to go in and let it flow over me. And if I'm interested, I'm interested. If I'm not, I just spent a half an hour and it was nice.
Yes.
I got to look at some things. I love that. Okay, so JasmineEllisComedy.com. It'll be in the notes. The name of the podcast is Podcast Rhythm and Bay. Wait, it's called Rhythm and Bay. It's just a podcast.
Why Rhythm and Bay. Rhythm and Bay. Bay is B-A, like the term of endearment.
That's right. And is it Rhythm and Bay, all spelled out, .com? Do you have that?
Actually, I don't have a website for them. So if you go to JasmineEllisComedy.com, just click podcast and it'll link you to it.
Success. Yep. And everybody go out and buy a Divas Christmas Carol as Christmas approaches. I know it's August. I know it's September. So we've talked about things. Everyone, find her comedy, listen to Rhythm and Bay. Thank you so much for doing the show.
Of course.
Yay. And Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?